Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
We're in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. I just want to take a second to talk about how we start our days here at the morning shift. Mike typically does not eat anything.
I don't eat here for sure. Yeah.
I have like a full-on breakfast, and I had sweet potatoes. I had an avocado. I had turkey sausage, and I had eggs. A healthy breakfast.
You could have shared. You could have brought some for everybody.
No.
You didn't.
And then, well, I mean, I would have been... But it's taking a lot of time. I'd be coming in at like 6:30 if you wanted me to make breakfast for everybody. So, but Bo comes strolling in with a Mountain Dew and Funyuns.
Diet Mountain Dew.
He's got the Vending Machine special. He's got the Vending Machine special.
It's got a name for that.
And
you
I
know?
Just don't know what to. I don't know what to think. But we talked about my day might not end as strong because I may have some candy or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I start good. I got to finish strong. You need to start better.
It's a Paulton County breakfast.
Hey, you go in waves. Y'all both kind of go in waves. I'm just consistently below average. Like, I just, like, right below the bar. You know what I mean? Just consistently below average with my intake.
I start out in Trashville as far as my breakfast. And then by the time I get to the end of the day, I'm eating, like, you know, turkey bowls and stuff.
You know what's funny is, like, meal to meal, I'm not terrible. The problem is that when I see something, it's going down the hatch. I'm very much a pick it up. And my kids.
You see food, eat
just,
food?
Yeah. My kids are just snacks. It's just snacks all the time. It's just snacks. And they're not bad snacks, but it's just like as soon as I see it and my son's like, Dad, I'm done with this. I'm like, all right, let me get that. You know what I mean? Like, oh, did you have some Ritz crackers? Let me get those things.
You just call it the dad tax.
Clean up, man. Yeah, the dad tax.
While we're talking
the dad
about.
Dad tax when you take it off the top before he starts, though. You know
okay.
what I mean?
Yeah. That's true.
At this point, I'm a cleanup hitter.
Real quick, while we're on the topic of fixing our food intake or diet or whatever. Lately, this whole week, I don't know why, but I've been on the trend of, like, I'll eat once and that's it. That's not good.
It's not good, but you're a youth.
Yeah, so I, you know, I can bounce back from it, but, you know, it's I need to change up that
trend.
Henry
don't you look model, at man. Me when you say you're young, you can bounce back, and then look at me.
I was looking around the room, and I just stuck on you. It wasn't a shot,
see,
Bob, I promise.
See, I felt like I needed nutrients, so, like, I needed a root vegetable. I needed this. I roasted a sheet pan of vegetables yesterday.
I'll say this. You say it's not good for him to do that. Some people think that that's the way you should eat, but. Because Derrick Henry brought this up, like, last week, he was like, I only eat once a day, and it's, like, at 5 o'clock, which I think is insane.
In the afternoon?
Yeah. That sounds insane to me. Oh. But I can't really argue with what Derrick Henry looks like right now. You know what I mean? So I'm like, dude, do whatever you got
to
do.
You know your body.
I just wonder how much he eats.
I mean, there are pros. There are pros and cons to both, I've heard.
I actually want to know.
I need to know what it is. That like a Michael Phelps meal where, you know, how Michael Phelps would eat like a whole pizza after swimming laps? And is that like what Derrick Henry's doing?
Day, you know, The Rock used to post his cheat days, and it's like a stack like 3 feet high of pancakes. Like, you're like, oh, man.
Couldn't even afford to eat like
that. Like, if The Rock eats it, I can eat it. And then I'm like, I don't work out like The Rock. So it's that doesn't really equalize each other.
None of us are professional athletes, unfortunately, anymore. All right, your Braves season is over. They lost 5-4 to the Padres last night in the wild card. And this is a tough break, but a lot of questions were being answered last night. And so Snit was asked if he's going to be able to coach this team next year. And he said that's exactly what he plans to do. He does plan to come back. I think he did a great job this year. If you look at what they had to battle from basically right out the gate to start the season. I don't know your thoughts.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I was tweeting back and forth with a guy named with Jay, who tweets us all the time. And he's like, it's, you know, I can't believe the Braves only had, what, 23 stolen bases or something. And I said, well, yeah, they lost 70. And he's like, yeah, but injuries aside, I go, well, the problem is you don't take injuries aside is because you lost for an extended amount of time this year your three best base runners, Harris, Acuna, and Albies. All three of those. Now, Kelnick had some speed, but I think there was a lot of put on him at times, and he just wasn't that guy. But that's your three. Those are three of your most important players. You lost for an extended amount of time. Go further with Minter, Strider, Riley. I mean, all these guys. You know, Sean Murphy missed almost 3 months of the season.
Look, I didn't want to put on my Bo hat, but I looked at some of the comments underneath the news that on X saying that Snit said he plans to manage next year. And some of them weren't good. And people were saying it's time. And I disagree with that.
Yeah, ignorance is plentiful on social media.
No, look, I don't think Jay's that far off.
She's talking about
yeah,
Snit.
No, I know. I agree. I think Snit did a great job, but to me, and it's like we talked about, I think it's inexcusable that Ronald Acuna is your leading base stealer. I know what you're going to say.
But let me ask you, who's going to steal the bases?
Can I finish my comment?
But who?
Can I finish my comment?
Yeah, when you tell me who.
Okay, you're going to tell me it's a power base team. My point to you is, and you made this comment last week, we have half of a freaking minor league lineup. At some point, you're going to have to take some more chances on the base path when it was this lineup. And I think that was really to the detriment of this team down the stretch.
I think
it's fair to say.
I think that's a nice way of looking at it. But Gio Urshela is not stealing bases.
Gio's been with the team for a month.
No, he's been with the team a little over a month. But who are these guys? Whit Merrifield is not stealing bases.
I'm not telling you it has to be one guy.
But the
attempts were down, dude.
But who is going – who are – okay, you're a poor-hitting team that is failing to produce runs. Of the guys that actually get on base during this stretch, who are you – you're going to send Marcell Ozuna? He can't run down a fly ball.
No.
You're going to send Jorge Soler? He can't run down a fly ball.
Yeah.
You're going to send Matt Olson? He's like the slowest guy on the team. Ramon Laureano? Okay, maybe you send him every once in a while. I get Jay's point, but you have limited guys on base, you have limited chances to steal, and you have slow-ass guys getting on base. Who's stealing the bases?
All the stuff that you're saying, I agree with.
I know what you guys are, and I know what y'all are saying, and I don't disagree with that.
All of the things you're saying, though, have been choices that have been made, dude. Like, all that we traded for Jorge Soler, knowing that we didn't have any speed.
But there's...
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Decision making.
Because that is how you have consciously built your team in the analytics era.
You can't go from a top 10 team in batting average, runners in scoring position, the way you were last year, to in the 20s, the way you were this year, and not take more chances on the base path. So that's I don't think that's a knock on Snicker, man. I'm not saying that. I am excited that Snicker's back. I think he did a phenomenal job. We've covered that multiple times.
I
just think when you talk about the deficiency of this team, I wish it would have been approached a little bit different.
I just don't know with what you have and what was available, who you're signing that's going to get those. Most of the guys, Eli White could steal every base he ever attempted if he wanted to. But he doesn't have an average that can get him on base ever. And that's the problem. A lot of these guys that do steal, they have trouble getting on. And so it's one of those deals. I bet you look at the Dodgers, the majority of their stolen bases probably came from Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani. I would dare you to look it up and say that they probably got 75% of their stolen bases from those two guys alone.
I don't think you're wrong.
And that's the problem. You know, if you want to go to that, then find out a way to play more small ball like they did last night. But stolen bases with what you put on the field, you're barking up the wrong tree.
Whew. All right. We will come back to Braves. I like the passion that you guys are displaying this morning and talking about your team. I know it's probably a tough ending for a lot of folks out there to their season. But we do have the Falcons and the Buccaneers tonight in Thursday Night Football. Michael, you are on pregame duties.
Yes, I am. We'll be hooked up and ready to rock. I think it's 6 o'clock. So, and honestly, all things considered, I absolutely love doing pregame. I mean, I absolutely love setting up the stats and everything else that go into these matchups, and I think it's a lot of fun. And of course, we'll have a lot to talk about tonight in terms of Baker Mayfield and what he is and how a defense like the Falcons, who has been very, very good, specifically in the secondary, how they'll try to attack him. So a lot of things to talk about, and I know that we'll get through them throughout this show as well. We'll be hooked up at 6 o'clock tonight, me and Goforth, rocking it.
And speaking of how they'll attack the Bucs, Bo, you ran through a long list of injuries that could affect this Bucs team tonight.
Yeah, I want to talk without my mic on. Yeah, you know, you start with right tackle Luke Gadecki, and like out for a concussion. I think you kind of look over on that right side, and that's, you know, I know Cody Mauch has gotten so much better, but I wonder if you can make some hay, and maybe Matthew Judon can make some hay over there, because he's been lined up a lot on the Falcons' left side. The offense's right side. But that is one right there, along with Trey Palmer and Jalen McMillan on offense, that glaring to me.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of different things to look at this. First of all, you do want to see the Falcons get home. Other than just the sacks that affect Baker Mayfield, my only issue is that I don't know if you can. And let me give you guys a couple of stats here in terms of Baker Mayfield. We've talked about it all week, how quickly he got rid of the ball last week. And credit to Liam Cohen, because it's been pretty incredible. Baker Mayfield, after having a 47% release time, 47% of his releases came over under 2.5 seconds, right? Let me say that again. 47% of his release time in his career has been under 2.5 seconds. That has jumped up 10% this year under Liam Cohen. Also, when you look at how far he's throwing the ball down the field, his percentage of balls that are going 20 or more yards is cut in half, right? So he's throwing the ball at the line of scrimmage a lot more than he ever has in his career. And that's so that he can get the ball out of the backfield, out of his hands, avoid the pass rush, and get it into the hands of his playmakers. They go 5 wide receivers, 4 wide receivers, and they do a number of different things that don't allow pass rushes to affect him. And we mentioned it yesterday. He's playing quarterback like he's a shortstop. He's catching it and throwing it. So I am just curious how much press you'll see for a team that runs mostly zone in the Atlanta Falcons, how much you could see them kind of walk up to the line of scrimmage, try to take away some of those short throws.
And I actually think that, I hope I don't eat these words, but it might play a little bit into what we have done. Even though we've played off, we've done a good job in the secondary with A.J. Simmons, D. Alford as well, Jesse Bates, and Mike Hughes. All 5 of those guys have done a phenomenal job of coming up and making that tackle, the one-on-one tackle where if you make a guy miss, you bust a 5-yard out little play to maybe 10 to 15. They did a good job of taking that and keeping it at 5.
I agree.
Now, the problem is you still got 5 yards on the play, and a lot of it's been on first down. But they did a good job in those one-on-one tackles. So that might, if they played maybe even a couple yards up, maybe just not as much of a cushion, you can maybe limit some of those, to 2 to 3 yard gains.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, man. Step up, make a tackle. Let's go.
We will stick with the NFL when we come back. Could there be a reunion of the receiver quarterback type going on in New York? We're going in the huddle to give you the latest NFL headlines. We'll be right back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 929.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Game.
I got so many of those, man. You know, Matt is you guys know what Matt means to me and that whole group. Julio, Matt, Mohamed Sanu, that whole crew, Taylor Gabriel, Calvin Ridley, just anybody that was on that offense those years I was coaching, because of the impact that they've had on my career and how to deal with superstar players and how to deal with guys who are absolutely about ball. And Matt was one of those guys who just absolutely demanded it every single day, and he brought it every single day, and he personified the toughness that you need in order to play that position in this game.
That was Coach Raheem Morris on Matt Ryan, who will be inducted into the Atlanta Falcons Ring of Honor tonight during the Thursday night football game against the Buccaneers. So what a special moment it will be for Matt Ryan, having been a part of this franchise for 14 seasons, and now he'll be a part of them forever.
Yeah, but I think I can echo what Raheem is saying right there, because obviously I had the pleasure of sharing a locker room. And no matter what Matt did on the field, and I'm talking about pregame, postgame, middle of the week, whatever it was, he was so consistent as a person. There's so much value in that when you have consistency as a person and somebody that's leading the way, right? You don't have to worry about, you know, his ups and downs. He was always going to show up with the same work ethic. It's the reason he was so consistent throughout his career in terms of what he was able to do at the quarterback position.
You think Kirk walks over to him at some point and says, "Hey, man, how do I unlock the tight end? You did it. How do I do it?"
I don't think Kirk's worried about the tight end, to be honest with you. I really don't. Matt's going to be like, "Dude, Tony, hey, Tony was getting separation and everything else, right? I mean, Matt would say, "Hey, my Hall of Famers, my tight end's in the Hall of Fame."
Yeah, but he got Kyle 1,000 yards.
I know he did, man. I mean, that was a very spry, very youthful Kyle Pitts.
I went back and forth all day yesterday. People wanted to tell me how and why and all this stuff about, you know, the tight end and how he's being misused.
I don't know how you have the energy, man. I saw some of that.
You're
I don't
crazy.
Know how you find the energy for that.
Well, I don't know either.
I'm time. Is that what you were gonna say?
No, I did some of it in the middle of like my walk with Sprinkles. I did some of it when I had to take my truck to Joe's and get it up there at my Woodstock and get my work done on it. And I mean, I here and there. I tell you what drives me nuts the most about this whole thing before we move on. I know you got Kirk Cousins on Tyler Allgeier is this whole, it's always someone else's fault, you know? It's always it's not his fault. You know, I'm sorry, but if I've got a 6'6 tight end who plays 250 pounds and he's getting bodied and ran through by a 6-foot, 190-pound guy, that's a problem. If Drake London is making the contested catches that tight ends normally make, that's a problem. That's the guy that we're having to put up the bat in those situations and not the tight end. Those are all... He's not just here to run by guys, and I hate to break it to you, but if you think he's going to run by a linebacker, they're going to come up and just put hands on him right off the bat and knock him off that route because he's not being physical.
You said something yesterday that I have to give you complete credit for, and it was off there, but you said Drake London is essentially our tight end right now, and I completely agree with you. He is making the contested, rangy, wingspan-style catches that you're used to seeing tight ends make down the field, and he's doing it in a clutch way. So – I'm completely with you. Darnell Mooney is playing like wide receiver one, and Drake London is playing like tight end one. And it's just, it's crazy. And then we continue to try to find Ray McLeod on third down. And
he's finding a way to be open.
And he is. And he's got quick twitch, and he's doing a number of things, and he understands what we're trying to do offensively. So it is. And I just, I think I speak for a lot of this fan base when it's like, I'm tired of the Kyle Pitts question. Like, I don't even want to keep diagnosing it. You know, he's got a touchdown. He's got an explosive play this year, and we'll see what happens tonight.
All right, since you brought it up, Bo, let's take a listen to Kirk Cousins on Tyler Allgeier and how good he's been this season.
Yes, what you just said, the ability to, you know, turn a one-yard gain into a four-yard gain, or in the case of last week, a four-yard gain into a 14-yard gain. You know, that's usually the mark of a good player, is can they make the first guy miss? Can they turn a play that would have been a gain of two and turn it into a gain of five? It's not headline-grabbing sometimes when a two-yard run becomes a five-yard run, but when you talk about what I just answered the previous question, which is staying ahead of the chains, giving yourself manageable down distances, that does that. And so it makes a meaningful difference for offense.
He's got two 100-yard games, but his two largest games ever rushing. 200-yard games. One against the Saints, one against the Bucks. If there is a game to come out and test him early and see if he's got it that night and he's going to be the hot hand, it's this game. It is this game tonight with Bijan on the hamstring, even though he said he's good to go. Tonight is the night. If you're going to use Tyler Allgeier early and often, it's tonight.
The rumor mill is churning when it comes to Davante Adams, the Raiders receiver. There are two teams that are high on his list, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, because apparently he wishes to be traded. And those two teams are the New York Jets, which reunite him with his former Packers teammate, Aaron Rodgers, or the other team. Any guesses here? The New Orleans Saints. I didn't give you a lot of room to guess because he'd be reunited with quarterback Derek Carr. Think any of this happens?
Both teams are going to have to do lots of work to get that to happen. And I think maybe the Raiders might have to eat some money. I even saw, you know, there's all kinds of some guy who I don't think he's even credible, but says he's an NFL reporter, was trying to say it would be a three-team trade and the Falcons would be involved and Hassan Reddick would be involved. And there's just a lot of crazy in that. I just kind of go back to what I said yesterday. I blame both sides on all of this. I think Antonio Pierce handled this poorly. I think Davante Adams probably could have handled this better as well.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you, and I think they're probably going about it the right way right now. And you know, Davante Adams hoping for a softer landing spot. And look, I don't necessarily blame Davante Adams for being upset. I mean, this is a guy who went to Vegas with the idea that you would have a good quarterback. Right. And instead, it seems like you're wasting prime years of your career. And his team didn't even draft a guy. Like, it's like maybe we'll get a young, you know, gunslinger. And you didn't do what you need to upgrade the quarterback position, even though you knew it was a bad spot of your team last year. So I understand his frustration. I understand a guy being in the prime of his career wanting to play with a veteran quarterback. I don't know that, you know, either one of those situations will happen. But here's what I will say. I don't want him to play for the Saints. I'll tell you that much. Don't want him to play for the
Hell
Saints.
No.
No, thank you. So hopefully whatever report is out there, or you know, whatever people think is a report is out there, is not true, because I'm good on that. No thanks.
You may have seen video circulating of Nick Chubb walking back onto the practice field for the Cleveland Browns, who have been hit by a number of injuries. They could soon actually get him back from the pupless, basically, physically unable to perform. He missed all of training camp 2024, part of the 2024 season.
Yeah, my fantasy team desperately needs him back, and I tell you what, I know that the Browns would love to have him back as well. I think he would, and Deshaun Watson probably wants him back more than anybody.
He's just such an easy dude, it seems like, to root for, man. Like, it just seems like such an easy dude to root for, and obviously when you have the injuries that he's had that have been just gruesome, you know, you want him to come back and be the player he was, and hopefully he can. So I think it was just uplifting, Tiff, to your point. The video is kind of circulating. It's just like, he looks like he's at ease, and he's walking on the field, and he's got pads on. Like, thank God, because he's a good dude, man. You want to see him excel, and hopefully he can get back to that status.
Yeah, head coach Kevin Stefanski had indicated earlier in the week that he would begin practicing soon. So they are going to, according to Jonathan Jones of CBS, NFL Insider, that they're going to use most of his three-week practice window before trying to suit him back up into game action. All right, let's talk receivers again, because Stephon Diggs, Buffalo Bills, sure that rings a bell. It did not end that well. And Diggs, of course, being in Houston, so now they – he will meet his former team in a Week 5 matchup. And he basically just talked about how he's got to block out all the noise. And a lot of other people, he said, are going to feel away and or have a lot to say about X, Y, and Z. I don't mind. I'm not mad at it. So Diggs is like, hey, I've moved on. Everybody else should too.
Good. I think everybody in Buffalo has too. They're a good team in Buffalo, and it doesn't seem like they've missed him for the most part this year. And so hopefully, I think both sides are better for having them, you know, split ways. And so that's kind of what you want. Whenever anything like that happens, you want both sides to come out in a good spot. And it definitely seems like that way between Stephon and Buffalo Bills. I can't imagine either side has any hard feelings at this point.
Yeah, I think Josh Allen's happy. I don't think Josh Allen, and this is not a knock on Stephon, but he was a guy that would, if he didn't get the ball when he thought he should get it, he would make it known on the sideline or in the meeting room. And I think that wears, I think they can wear on a quarterback. You're trying to lead a team and try to disperse evenly and also win. And I don't think you wanted to come to the sideline when you didn't have your best player. Maybe you got hit right in the mouth trying to make a throw to the guy and the guy's complaining. Maybe you don't want to hear that.
It's so funny. I saw this on the X last year at some point. It was like everybody in the world thinks Josh Allen's the top five quarterback other than sideline Stephon Diggs. Like sideline Stephon Diggs. It's like this guy's trash. And then you get him in the locker room, he's like, you know, Josh, good teammate, good dude. Oh, on the sidelines, like, give me the ball. So it is just funny, man. But like I said, man, good for both of them that they've split ways and both been successful.
And I'm not taking a shot at Diggs here, but having covered that team in week one of the season, they don't have guys that are doing some theatrics or anything like that on the sideline there. So I know he's really happy with the receiving core that he has. On to a big showdown between the Bengals and the Cincinnati.
The Ravens.
The Ravens.
Yep.
This is not going well. Reading today is not happening for me. So Joe Burrow, Bengals, Ravens, and Burrow said that they are going to have to play. I actually said I'm going to have to play damn near perfect to try to get this done against that Ravens team.
Battle of Heisman Trophy winners. He's right, though, but he's going to need some help. I mean, he needs, you know.
Is this second straight week Battle of Heisman Trophy winners? Because didn't they get Jane Daniels last week? Or is that 2 weeks ago?
That was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's the LSU Heisman
Trophy. Well, technically, did Bryce win a Heisman? Remind me. Bryce
Who?
Young?
Did yeah, Bryce Young.
Well, technically, that was a Battle of Heisman winners, except for one just didn't play.
All right, this hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting claim. What you got for Mic'd Up?
Hey, Mic'd Up is going to be a Falcons Thursday edition. It's game day, right? I got 5 questions for the Atlanta Falcons tonight. Things I want to see, things I think we might see. Also got 5 stats to go along with those questions. We'll try to break down what we'll see on the field tonight. Falcons take on the Buccaneers at Mercedes-Benz tonight. It's a Falcons Thursday game day edition of Mic'd Up. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Hey, yo! It's Mic'd Up. It's a Falcons Thursday. It's game day. All the above, man. It's a beautiful day in the city of Atlanta. A little bit cool outside this morning. I'm all about it. Actually, I had to turn on the heat in my truck this morning. I don't know about y'all. Feel good about it. Look, we got to dive into some of these Falcons topics. First and foremost, shout out to Level Lawns. Want to make sure I give them some love. My guy Brett, always listening. Checked on me yesterday. Checked on my fescue grass seed. It's starting to sprout because the temperatures are lowering. Backyard's starting to look good. Also, with us having Sunday off this weekend, Bo, you know you'll find me at Buffalo's Cafe getting it hooked up from top to bottom and eating some little chicken wings with the family. So, look, man, we got to dive into some of these questions. I want you guys to kind of follow along because I have questions on what we'll see tonight that I kind of co-sign on what I think are keys to the game, right? And so we'll follow along with these topics. I'll give you some stats to go along with it. But let's start from the top.
Number one,
can the Falcons find a running game? And I say fine because it's been the key to the victory for it seems like 4 years now for the Atlanta Falcons. Got to be able to find that run game. When you look at what the offense is right now, all right, they are 22nd in the league at 102.8 yards per game, but they're also 10th at 4.6 yards per carry. They got to find the right situations. What is the proper, to me, the big question tonight is what is the proper backfield split? Bijan was on the injury report this week. Tyler Algier seems like he's heating up. When you look at the backfield touches, Bijan only gets the backfield touches 11 times last week. I don't know if that's the right number, but I know Algier will be a big component tonight.
I feel like you should go to Twitter for this, Bo, because I really know how much you love talking about the insight that you're given what to do with Tyler Algier.
Well, I've got 3 guys that think that Bijan is garbage and that Tyler is the most complete back in the NFL. And then I've got other guys that think the opposite. I've got other guys that tell me that one should be used as a blocker, but the bigger guy can't. All I'll tell you is I do not believe in setting a number. I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is heresy.
The feel of the game.
It's absolutely the feel of the game, Tiff. You go with a hot hand, and last week Bijan seemed to be a little banged up, maybe, but Algier was the hot hand, and you fed him, and it helped win you the game.
To your point, let me give you the numbers. All right, so the first 3 weeks, here's how the percentage of backfield touches that Bijan handled: 88.5% week one, 64% in week two, 72% in week three. And then that came all the way down to 52% last week. So I'm with you. I thought Tyler Algier was the best. And here's the other thing. I personally believe, after watching the way he's performed in blitz pickup, it seems like he's catching the ball a little bit easier at this point in the year. I think that Bijan is one of the most well-rounded running backs in the league. On the flip side, I'm not sure that Tyler Algier doesn't fit our offensive run game style better, a little bit better than Bijan, the way he sticks his foot in the ground against North and South. So I do think that you're going to need both these guys tonight in order to find that ground game.
I mean, I believe that this is one of the reasons why there's a lot of envy in the league around our backfield, is because we have two dynamic running backs. I just think you feed the hot hand. I don't think you need to be stuck to one or the other. You see, it's all, Tiff said it, flow of the game.
All right, I agree with you. Let's move on.
Number two.
Question number two tonight. What in the world, I don't even want to use the expletives I thought I was going to use. What in the world is the third down game plan tonight for the offense? Let me give you a couple of stats. You want the good news or the bad news first as far as third down goes?
I don't care.
Bad news.
Yeah, bad news.
Bad news. You want the bad news? The Falcons ranked 29th in the league at 26% on third down. Mm-hmm. All right, the good news is that only 38% of your sets of downs have actually gotten to third down, which is third in the NFL. That means you're going to first and second, and you're picking up first downs, right? The problem is that when you get that far down, it's not very good. All right, and so
if you get the third down, the drive ends.
Dude, let me tell you something right now, too, and everybody knows it. Todd Bowles is going to blitz you tonight, and I think he's third or fourth in the league as far as blitz percentage goes. He's going to blitz you often. Especially on third down with Kirk Cousins not moving very well. So I don't know what I think the game plan will be, but, man, you better get that pill out of the pocket because he's going to be coming with it.
The plan would be on schedule. No negative plays on first down or second down, and stop the penalties. These big penalties are killing drives. We had everybody wants to talk about what Bijan didn't do last week. You know what he did do? Caught a screen pass and housed it. But you know what? You had a ticky-tack penalty that I don't think should have been called.
No, it was awful.
Called, and it brought it back. That's the problem right now. We're not staying on schedule in some of these drives, and some of that is coupled with these ridiculous penalties that are long penalties that are putting you way behind the sticks.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
Number three.
Is it even possible to affect Baker Mayfield tonight? Is it even possible? I gave you the numbers earlier. When you look at the breakdown of what he's doing, he is getting the ball out now 10% faster than he has throughout his career. Those balls are coming out 2.5 seconds or under. He's also not throwing the ball downfield near as much. I think 14% of his passes in his career have been over 20 yards. That's down to 7% under Liam Cohen. All right, so he is getting the ball out now. Now, let me give you the defensive side of this. All right. 50% of the drives against the Falcons' defense have resulted in points. We talk about bend but don't break. All right, so basically what that says is teams are getting in field goal range and they're able to kick field goals. And I think that, look, when you look at week one, that's a prime example. Pittsburgh doesn't even score, and they're able to go to victory. So 50% of the drives against the Falcons' defense have resulted in points. That's actually 28th in the NFL. Also, Falcons' defense, known for doing a lot of zone cover three, Baker Mayfield completing 72% of his passes against zone. Guys, is it even possible to affect Baker Mayfield tonight when he's getting the ball out so fast?
You mentioned injuries on the offensive line, did you not, Bo?
Yeah, they're a little banged up. Even their center, Barton, has been banged up, Tiff, in practice. It looks like he's going to be a go. They're missing Luke Gadecki.
There is a possibility that, yeah, they could get it going, get the pressure going on the quarterback, given some key pieces are being out.
Well, comfortable for a quarterback is not just sitting back there and slinging quick passes, right? It's more than what's the down and distance? Can you stop? Can you do enough to prevent them from gaining big gains on first and second down in the run game as well? Take that away. Do you slightly hug up without coming too far up because they have two home run threats and Godwin and Evans? And Bucky Irvin is a kid that can let one get away as well. So Do you try to play just – don't come completely out of what you do, but just play a hair or two tighter on the line of scrimmage?
But he can extend the play, and he usually is I think he's going side to side more so than not.
Yeah.
Anything is better than him sitting back there and throwing it in less than 2 seconds.
I'm glad you brought up Mike Evans.
Number four,
which Mike Evans will we see? We saw two different versions last year. He go down to Tampa. He obviously is doing a lot of good things. He comes to the Benz. You don't even hear from Mike Evans, right? It's like it was a tale of two different games. Let me give you the stats, though, and the biggest thing is the target. Through the first three games this year, Mike Evans was only targeted 15 times by Baker Mayfield in Liam Cohen's offense. Last week, 14. All right, 15 times through the first 3 weeks combined, last week 14 alone. Which version will we get of Mike Evans tonight? I think it's a huge key to victory to be able to shut him down with the injuries they have at wide receiver.
Well, Tiff, Mike Evans has played 18 games in his career against the Falcons. He's only gone he hasn't done much, just 92 catches for 1,400 yards and 11 touchdowns.
No big deal.
So I don't know who Mike Evans is, but I don't think he's – I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Mike Evans is Mike Evans.
Don't poke
always...
the bear, man.
Limit,
don't poke the bear.
You know what? To me, a good night is if Mike Evans has 7 catches for 89 yards and no touchdowns. You know why?
Ooh.
Because that means there was no 60-yarder in there. There's no big play. You kind of let him get his without letting him get off.
Yeah, well, let me just tell you this.
Or
I would
off.
Kill for one of the yeah. That's,
I don't. You I was just, concerned.
Dude, yeah, I don't know. Pause. I will say this: I would kill for one of the Falcons to have 7 catches for 89 yards.
Number 5.
Because number 5 is who is the Falcons' third down playmaker? Who is it? We have to identify this if the season is going to get pointed in the right direction offensively. I mentioned Todd Bowles' defense earlier. They are 4th in the NFL in blitz rate at 35%. Cousins is 27th in yards per pass attempt against the blitz. Something has got to give. You got to find a playmaker to step up. I know people keep pointing to Kyle Pitts. We've talked about it for days, weeks, almost years, months, whatever right now. I don't think it's Kyle Pitts. Drake London, Ray McLeod's been that guy. I'm a massive Darnell Mooney fan. Maybe Bijan becomes more involved. Who is the Falcons' third down playmaker tonight? Got to figure it out.
I think it's Darnell Mooney. I think Darnell has been the guy that has his – Drake London has chemistry with Kirk Cousins, and it is very apparent because Kirk Cousins absolutely trusts Drake London to heat. If he puts it in there in a tight thing, coverage, the ball is either knocked – it's either caught – or he runs the route well enough that you cannot undercut him.
Mm.
However,
body that thing up.
Darnell and Ray Ray have been the guys that have been getting open, Tiff, in those moments when needed to be. So he's always looking to Darnell, but his safety blanket right now, which should be the tight end, is Drake London.
Mm.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just frustrated.
That's my
I apologize.
Thank you guys
I'm sorry for yelling,
Let's go
Tiffany.
Go get a dub tonight. Let's
Please
go.
Don't look at me that way. I know you... You're disappointed in me, and I apologize.
Go.
All right. Up next, we've got our very own Rusty Manziel joining us here on the morning shift. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.